Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Chris Christopherson, the great country music singer, songwriter, tells the story of an experience that he had that served as the backdrop for the writing of the song that Fred just sang, Why Me, Lord? On the Sunday morning following a benefit concert that he had performed at the night before, he went to church at the invitation of a friend, something that he was, at that point in his life, was not normally wont to do. In the course of the service, there was an altar call. And for some inexplicable reason, he found himself being strangely drawn or pulled toward the front of the church. When he got up there, the pastor asked him if he was ready to accept Jesus Christ into his heart. And Chris said, I don't know. Chris goes on to tell that he began to weep right there in the church, down on his knees, as he felt a forgiveness sweep over him that he didn't even know he needed. And from that experience came this tremendous song, Why Me, Lord? I think Chris's question is one that many of us have probably asked at one time or another in our lives. When we reflect back upon our lives of blessing, we can't help but wonder why God has been so good to us. Why did he give us the life that he has? Why did he give us the family and the friends and the home and the happiness, the safety, the security, the freedom that we have in this nation? Most of all, why did he give us the salvation that is ours in Christ Jesus? What was it about us that made God want to choose us and to bless us? Therein lay the problem with this familiar why me, Lord, question. You see, that question usually leads people back to the mirror to look for some reason within themselves that accounts for why God has chosen them and why he has blessed them. And nothing could be more misguided than that. Such is one of the great benefits of our reading today from Acts chapter 9, which records the event of Saul's conversion. From all accounts, it would be hard to imagine a less likely choice for the 13th apostle, the apostle chosen specifically to go to the Gentiles to be the voice of Jesus, to bring them salvation, than that man that we know as Saul of Tarsus. He was Jewish to the core, circumcised on the eighth day, the son of a Pharisee, the tribe of Benjamin, the people of Israel, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regards to the law, Saul himself was a Pharisee. He was faultless in his adherence to the law. He was zealous to the degree that he persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. With religious fervor and tenacity, Saul hated the gospel of Jesus Christ. He sought to wipe it and all of its followers off the face of the earth. To choose this man to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentile world, that bordered on the insane. And yet, God chose him. Listen again to the words of our text, words of our Lord today. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias!" "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel." So, since we know that God is not crazy, and he's not stupid, and he's not foolish, and we know from the scriptures that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man, we arrive back at that question: why in the world did God choose Saul? What was there about him that made him the perfect choice for apostle of the year? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. From a human standpoint, God could not have chosen a worse, more unlikely, more pathetic person than that of Saul to be his voice and his instrument of salvation to the Gentile world. And thus, God chose him. For you see, in choosing Saul, who later would be known as Paul, who would also later confess himself to be the worst of all sinners, God chose a person who could in no way look within himself to find the cause for his salvation. God chose a sinner who could not ask, "Why me, Lord?" But who could only ask, "Why, Lord?" God chose a man who was broken and wretched and lost, one who deserved nothing but punishment and death, so that he and everyone else would always know that God saved him always and only because of the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. The choosing of Saul and the conversion of Saul and the ministry of Paul is a testament to the grace and the mercy and the love and the forgiveness of God, our Heavenly Father, who for the sake of Jesus' death and resurrection does not hold our sins against us, but who has forgiven us and who continues to forgive us each and every day of our lives. Prior to Saul's conversion, he was a man who firmly and fully believed that he was deserving of God's favor. He looked at himself and he saw this Hebrew of Hebrews, a man who, because of his religiosity and his fervor for the law, deserved God's blessings. I wonder if sometimes, perhaps, we do not find ourselves thinking like Saul. Perhaps we too have been duped by Satan into believing that nonsense also. Perhaps sometimes we almost feel entitled to God's blessings because we've been such good Christians, regular worshipers, generous givers, caring servants, always ready volunteers. But lest we try to look within ourselves to answer that question of why me, Lord, let's always start by asking the question, why, Lord? Paul reminds us in Romans 5 that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Ephesians 1, 4, Romans 8, 29, Matthew 25, 34, all tell us that God chose us to be His forgiven and redeemed children since the creation of the world. In fact, before the creation of the world, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before anyone in all the world ever knew that you were even ever going to exist. And thus to ask the question of why me, Lord? And then to try to look in the mirror to find some answer to that question is itself an act of pure lunacy. If you want to know why you're saved, don't ever look in the mirror. Look at the cross. You and I are saved because of Jesus, and only because of Jesus. God chose us, not because of who we are, but because of who He is, a loving and gracious and merciful God. May we live each day of our lives in humble gratitude to God for His absolutely amazing grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior, amen.